Hallelujah. Open up to Matthew chapter 4. When Alan was teaching this morning in the second service, he said many good things. One of the things that I could relate with most of what he said. I've walked that same path pretty much. But when he had the Joe come up to stand beside him, and Alan was the spirit man and Joe was the natural man, the flesh man, you know. And when he said things like, my flesh man, it's not that he doesn't want to serve God. I mean, he'll come up with 14 different ways to fix it. We're going to talk about that tonight, see. There's lots of, quote, ministry done by the will and by the energy of man. But it's not the ministry that is the fruit of the kingdom. It's good intentions, but it's not God. Okay? Just like Alan, I was going through those years and praying and listening to the Holy Ghost and doing my best to obey the instructions. And by following those instructions, it's like God purposely took us out on a financial limb and then sawed the tree off behind us. You know, there was like absolutely nothing. I mean, just nothing. And you talk about my mind could come up with a dozen ways an hour how to fix this. You know, first off, I like to work, you know, and it's so easy for me to just go get a job or start a business. I can start a business. I can, you know, I've raised in that kind of home, family business type thing. I know there's ways to fix it. Okay. Ways to fix it. But that would have been the opposite of what God was calling me to do. The root of the problem was not the circumstances. The root of the problem was I had no faith in God. Let's say it a different way. I loved Him. I mean, I was saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I could Shandai along with the rest of them, you know. I could fill with the Holy Ghost. But when it come down to trusting Him, when the circumstances looked opposite, I wanted to go fix it. And God's going, you got to learn how to trust me. You got to learn how to trust me. So I've been thinking about that this afternoon, remembering so many incidents, so many things in my mind. And the Lord reminded me of a teaching that's one of the face-to-face teachings. If you want to look it up at the website, it's in the face-to-face section. This one is called The Highest Order of Reality. The Highest Order of Reality. And what it's really talking about, he makes this statement several times in here. He says, now you need to understand this. Unless, and this was the Holy Spirit talking with me, first person. And he said it several different ways. But he says, it boils down to this. He's going, unless I am allowed to move, no ministry has happened. See? Unless I am allowed to move, no ministry has taken place. And that's the opposite. That's the difference between you fixing it by some scheme of man through the energy of the flesh, which a lot of, quote, good works can be done that way. Good things can be done, you know. Animal shelters and hearing aids and glasses. I thank God for all of those things, you know. But see, God has a better plan for my eyes than these glasses. God has a better plan for deaf people than hearing aids. See? And one is the work of man, and with good intentions, it's okay. But it's not ministry from God's point of view. So let me say it again. From God's point of view, unless His Spirit is allowed to move, no real ministry has taken place. So the verse I wanted to launch into this is Matthew 4. Look at verse 24. Well, let's do verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Notice the progression. Teaching in their synagogues. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Do you see the progression? You're going to find it more places than just there. Teaching, then preaching, then demonstrating. Verse 24, his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, can we say crazy? And those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Now, why the teaching? Why didn't he just go in and, I'm here, come here, be healed? Why the teaching? Why the preaching? What was that about? Why didn't he just come in and say, okay, I'm here, come, be healed? Get in this line. Here's the way the Holy Spirit explained it to me. I'm going to read part of this. This is at the website. It's in the face-to-face section. He reminded me today from Alan's teaching. When he was standing there, and Alan's the perfect guy. Thank you, I'm the child of God. I love them. And Joe was the flesh man. Well, whenever the circumstances are bad, the flesh guy can come up. You know, the mind can come up with 27 ways to fix in an hour. My mind is like that, too. I have all these solutions, which are not God. But there's a difference between that walk and the walk of the Spirit. The walk of the Spirit is where you follow him and where his Spirit is loose to solve the problem, like we see here. Look at it one more time. The fruit is supernatural when the Spirit is allowed to move. See, verse 24 again. They brought unto him all sick people, say all. All sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those that were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, crazy peoples, crazy peoples. What do we do with them? We put them somewhere, get them on drugs, you know. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's the only thing man can do. That's what man can do. And those that had the palsy, and he what? Crazy person comes in, sane person walk out. That's where we're going. Got it? If I'm looking at you, I'm not calling you crazy. I gotta look somewhere, okay? So what we want, I mean, I thank God, what else can man do? I mean, the natural man does the best he can, but it's human effort. Human results, but it's vastly different than what God the Holy Ghost can do. So the way he worded this to me, he said, now the highest order of reality is when the Spirit of the living God is loosed in the name of Jesus Christ to reorder the material realm according to the original intent and purpose of the will of the Father. True ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ are those whose thinking is elevated above the ways of man. They have entered into that realm of the Spirit to flow with the mind of the Spirit, to reorder all things by the Spirit. Of those who are ministering in the name of Jesus Christ upon the earth, I have few who understand these things, says the Spirit of grace. Understand that no true ministry has been achieved until I am loosed, either by your faith or the faith of the people. Why the teaching? Why did he teach first? Faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He's putting faith in the people. First, he's teaching. Preaching is, okay, based on what I taught you, now I am exhorting you to believe it. You know, believe what I taught. That's preaching. Then demonstrating. But he's increasing their faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me read that sentence again. Understand that no true ministry has been achieved until I am loosed, either by your faith or the faith of the people, to manifest the will of the Father, which is in the mind of Jesus Christ. In the most simple terms, the ministry of Jesus Christ in the flesh, and what he means is while he was physically on earth, was to minister the will of the Father to the people by the Spirit of the living God, who is the hand of the Father outstretched. Glory. All of his, now get this, all of his teaching, which we just looked at. How did he do it? He went teaching, preaching, then healing. He said all of his teaching and all of his preaching was directed toward this end result, that their faith be increased to receive the will of the Father by the moving of the Spirit. This is still the ministry of Jesus Christ through all the ministers in human flesh whom he calls. Teaching alone, which does not direct the people toward faith, that they may receive the will of the Father by the hand of their Spirit in their lives, is void of the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's why around here you can hardly hear a message without somewhere in there, go pray. Go fast. We're not trying to get you to follow us. We're trying to teach you how to follow him. See the difference, you know? Even when teaching those things that are milk, the end result is to eventually point the people to their Father and cause them to understand that it is by the Father's Spirit through the name of Jesus Christ that they may receive all that the Father has for them. Teaching that does not direct the people onto that path is teaching which is the void, which is void of the mind of Christ. This is so good, but it would take the whole part of time to read this. There are certain things here I want to get into, and then he wants to give some demonstration here. So let me do this. Again, this one is in the face-to-face segment of the website. It's called The Highest Order of Reality. You can print it, read it. You can listen to me read it. We've got it there in every form that we can possibly think of. Let me read this paragraph. Nothing is impossible. I should just stop right there. We read those things too quick. Marvinas and Malcolm have a beautiful daughter named Victoria. They call her Tori. How old is Tori? 17. The world, the way they would describe it, she was born with a birth defect, and her brain was not fully, completely formed. Am I saying it about right? Damaged. Okay. So she doesn't function right now the way a normal teenage girl would function. Medical science, you know, to my knowledge, they don't do brain transplants. They have no way of regenerating. They have no way of regenerating the damaged portion. In other words, with all of our technology, we sent men to the moon and all of the everything that man can do, that flesh guy, you know, that Alan had up there today, that the with all the best intentions of the in the world, there's nothing we can offer her. But he says, I'm not just picking on her, it's just a very impossible case. They're heroes of mine, that they are standing like they're standing. Nothing is impossible for true ministers of the Spirit who will hearken to my counsel and will obey my instructions without question. I'm glad I go to this church. I'm glad I go to this. I believe with all my heart the day will come when Tori will walk in here on her own two legs. We'll walk right up here and just start talking. I believe Adam was talking immediately, born with language. I believe Tori will receive a brain with language. I really do. And she'll walk right up here and she'll say, thank you, Mama. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Prayer Center, for not giving up on me. Thank you for calling those things that be not as though they were. Thank you. Thank you. And that's just one case. Never accept present reality as being the Father's reality. The Father's reality, if you want to know what that is, he says it is manifested in Jesus Christ. This is what he meant when he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus Christ is the will of the Father in action. Again, I say to you, never accept present reality as being the Father's reality. I have been sent for the express purpose of manifesting the highest order of reality as you yield to my instructions, which I bring from the very throne of the Lamb. I will say it another way for your mind's sake. And he was so gentle with me this day when you read this. He said it like four different ways. He knows how I am. I will say it another way for your mind's sake. Unless I move, ministry has not taken place. God, that's so important. Present reality cannot be restored to the Father's reality except by the operation of the Spirit of the living God. The finest efforts of man will never restore present reality to the highest order of reality. This change can only be accomplished by the Spirit of the living God. I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. That's why Dave, you know, he'll stop right in the middle of what he's doing. Someone's got a craggy neck, or he'll hear something, feel something. He'll get it communicated to him by the Spirit, and he'll just yield to it. And that's why God, that's why we see all the things that we see. I'll never forget, about 2 years ago up in Ohio, he said, "Does someone have a gravel neck?" Dave was just teaching along. I think he was doing a Nerd Girl and Computer Boy or something. And just right in the middle, he said to someone, who has a gravel neck? When you turn your neck, it's like you can feel and hear gravel. Isn't that an interesting way to say it? And you know, a lady stood right up. She'd done something and it was like, it feels like gravel. Instantly healed by the Spirit of the living God. Well, I thank God we have a pastor that can hear like that. But see, our pastor is thanking God that he has people that can hear like that. Dave's not here for us to admire him. Dave is here for us to learn how to follow him and follow in those same steps. Okay? So I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. I cannot move where my instructions are heard, yet not obeyed. I say all the time, there's two phases that I've learned. Don't ask me how I know this. A problem is, I can't hear God. If you do what's taught here, that's not going to be a problem for very long. But then you're going to have a bigger problem. Because the bigger problem is, I heard God, but I'm not dead enough to obey it. Give your pickup to your worst enemy. Give that lady right there a blank check with your signed. You've heard the stories, you know. Yeah. So I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. I cannot move where my instructions are heard yet not obeyed. Hear me this day, says the Spirit of grace. Now listen, what he said to me, he's saying to you. The Lamb is calling you to become expert at hearing my voice. And to yield your will upon the altar of his life, which has been imparted unto your spirit. Hear my voice, obey my instruction, that I may move on behalf of those where he sends you. That the Father's order of reality can be manifested in their lives by his hand outstretched, which is the Spirit of the living God who is now speaking with you. So, he goes on here, talking again and again about the moving of his spirit. Yes, sir. You got to get this one. Over and over, he keeps gently saying this again and again. Again, I say to you, there is no reordering of reality without the moving of the Father's Spirit. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Now get this part. You are having difficulty receiving. Now, he said this to me. I'm sure he wouldn't say the same thing to you. You are having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you are expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. As I have spoken previously to you, when his instructions come, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problem. Now get this. Get this. Somebody take up an offering right before I do this one. This is too good, wouldn't he? You, now he wouldn't say this to you, I'm sure. Said it to me. You are still expecting his instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. But his instructions come in such a manner that they allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel, and you will receive these instructions. All right. In the early thrilling days of yesteryear, usually, or most commonly, I think, in America, in a house, a married couple, if one gets saved first, it's usually the wife. In our home, it just happened to be me. I happened to be the first one. And I didn't know hardly anything except I got born again. I was really born again. But the only thing in me, teaching-wise, that I knew was all those years of what I'd been taught growing up in a denominational church. And it was a real mixture of legalism and false doctrine. But they did preach Christ. I knew about Christ and Him crucified. But there was a lot of legalism that came up also. And it manifested. That's what was in me in abundance. Well, I got saved, and I wanted Sue to get saved. Bless God, I was going to help her get saved. So my mind, I started nagging her and trying to get her to go to church and trying to do this and trying to do that. This went on for a couple of weeks. And Sue, just to be honest, she says, I'm not sure. This is not what I signed up for. I like going to the bars. I like the life that we have. I don't care anything about church at all. I'm not sure this is even going to work between us if you stay with this. Can y'all believe Sue was ever like that? I tell everyone, I said, my original problem was I could not get Sue into church. My problem now is I can't get her out. You know, she can't, you know, I say, honey, no eye contact, no eye contact. Still, can't get her out of the church, you know. I'd stop and visit with everybody. She loves God, and I thank God for that. I'm teasing, sort of. But anyway, that's how it was then, and I was using all kinds of fleshly wisdom. Good works, bless God, I'm going to get this woman saved. Spouting Bible verses at her, preaching at her, and trying to get her to go to church. One day she got me so mad. And remember, Alan also talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes it, even with a real fruit tree, it might take years before that fruit appears. Well, we're talking weeks here now. I was so full of that fruit of love, man, and she wouldn't go to church with me, and I threw my Bible at her. Show her the love of God. Well, after that, even I knew I'd messed up big time. So I was going, God, I don't know what to do. And I didn't know any of this then. What I read to you, I didn't know any of it then. I didn't know what else to do but just go, God, I don't know what to do. My way is not working. I can tell that. Throwing my Bible at my wife is probably not going to work. You know. Now, what he just said was, my instructions, I can't move unless the instructions are heard. And then I can't move if the instructions are heard and not obeyed. So I'm asking him what to do. In those days, we were in real estate business. Sue spent a lot of her time in a car, which is what real estate agents do, you know. Either going and looking at houses or taking people to go look at houses. And when I asked the Lord what to do, he reminded me of a CD that had just come out by Bob Dylan called Saved. I don't know if y'all know this, but Bob Dylan for a few years really had an encounter with the Lord. And he put out two albums. One was called Saved. I think the other one was Long Train Running. And he wrote most of the music on there. And I'm telling you, it's very scriptural. It's very good. Now, Sue normally, she's not a Bob Dylan fan. But that particular album, I began to hear parts of it on the radio. It's just the kind of music that Sue really liked. So I was like, what do I do? And I felt like he was saying, I didn't hear him then as well as I do now, but I felt like I remembered just immediately, I like saw in my mind that CD album, and or maybe it was a cassette tape. How old ago? No, that was an 8-track. It was, that's right, it was an 8-track. I remember that now. Oh my God, that was a combination in a Cadillac car, a new one, and combination 8-track and CB radio. Glory to God. Oh, 10-4, good buddy. As a preview of things to come. I just didn't know it, you know. And at first, I'll be honest, I didn't think it was God. I thought, you know. And I kind of poo-pooed it, but it just kept coming. See, and there's that ministry like a tree. When it's really God, it's not just a fleeting thing. It'll bug you. You have a hard time getting away from it when it's God, you know. It'll just keep coming. It just kept coming. And finally, I'm thinking, he didn't give me any, like, detailed instructions. It was just like, you wanted the answer? This is the answer. Buy this for your wife. So I did. I went, and I don't know where I bought it, but I got the 8-track saved. And I just gave it to her, and I said, I think you'll like this. She went, Bob Dylan? I don't normally care for Bob Dylan. I said, well, just listen to it. If you don't like it, throw it away. She loved it. Now picture this. Here's Sue. I got to tell you this part, or people just, because nobody knows the Sue that, like nobody knows the Gary she married. Nobody really knows the Sue that I married. The night that I got saved, which was I was at home, Sue was out with a bunch of her girlfriends at one of those male stripper joints, just having a big time, you know, and they're all drinking and laughing and having fun and stuffing dollar bills in those guys' shorts, you know. That's who we were. Fun loving. Now, Sue never did get drunk. She never did have a drinking problem like me. She'd get happy. So anyway, that's who we were. And she's going, I don't want to think about this church stuff. I don't know about this. I'm not even know if I'm going to go that way, especially seeing how I'm acting. I'm not sure I want any of that. I liked you better before. You know? So anyway, I hear God, and it doesn't seem like it's God. It's out of left field. Buy a Bob Dylan album for my wife. Well, she put it in the car. She did like it. It surprised her. Now, I can't do the lyric. Now, picture my unsaved wife. And Sue cannot listen to music that she likes without singing along with it. It's just impossible. That is not going to happen. So she really liked this. Now, the first song is called Saved. And it's full. Every song on that album is anointed. I'm just telling you. There's an anointing on it. The first album, picture Sue, lost as she can be, driving around town, singing these songs along with Bob. Blinded by the devil, born already ruined, stone cold dead as I stepped out of the womb. By his grace I've been delivered, by his blood I've been saved, I'm saved. By the blood of the Lamb I'm saved. She's going around calling things that be not as though they were, not even knowing she's doing it. And that's just one song. I mean, you gotta serve somebody. It might be the devil. It might be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. That's another one that's on there. She's singing all of this, calling. Within 2 weeks, my wife got saved. Within 2 weeks, God knows what he's doing. He says, when I give you instructions, it looses me. He began ministering to her himself. I keep telling y'all, the Lord is holy, the Lord is righteous, and the Lord is sneaky. He sneaked up on Sue and got her calling those things which be not as though they were before we had any idea even what that was. How good is the Holy Ghost? Isn't that amazing? Now, yes, sir, I'll go ahead and tell this part. About 2 weeks went by, and we had something, I don't remember exactly what, it might have been I don't know what we had at our house, but this is when we still had the big house in the right part of town and the Cadillac cars and all of that. So anyway, we had some function at our house, and everybody'd left. And I had gone back to get ready for bed, and I was just taking a shower. It's a pretty big house, not a lot bigger than the one we're in now. And so I'm way back there taking a shower, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the shower door. I mean, on the bathroom door. And it's Sue. She's going, "What do you want?" I'm going, "What do you mean, what do I want? I'm taking a shower." She says, "No, you call my name. You call my name." I said, "Honey, I didn't call your name. I'm just back here taking a shower." She said, "Well, somebody must still be in the house." So she went all through the house. Somebody must have stayed because she heard some person, a male voice, call her name. And so, you know, she went back in there, looked everywhere, nobody. I mean, I don't take long showers. It wasn't very long. Knocking on the door again. "What do you want?" And I said, "Did you hear your name again?" "Yes." "Sue, I promise you." And I went, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. I was just reading this today in the Old Testament. Samuel, he thought Eli was calling his name. And he went in there twice and what do you want, master? And he said, wasn't me. And finally Eli figured it out and he said, no, it's God. It's the Lord. If he says it again, I said, Sue, if you hear that voice again, do like Samuel and say, yes, Lord, thy servant heareth. She walked away like, right, I'm doing that, you know. But it was so real to her. She didn't hear him say her name again, but she went back in there. It was so real to her. She was convinced there was nobody else in the house. She said, Lord, if you're real, come into my life. Come into my life. That was the beginning right there. Isn't that something? Now, don't tell me that me obeying his... If I had not have obeyed that instruction about buying that Bob Dylan thing, he would. There's more than one plan. There's more than one plan. But the Holy Spirit says it. Let me see. Let me read it again. See? I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. And I cannot move where my instructions are heard, yet not obeyed. If I would have absolutely refused to obey that instruction, he would have had another plan. And after that, he would have had another plan. He is more interested in Sue getting saved than I'm interested in Sue getting saved. You understand what I'm saying? But can you see, that is such a perfect illustration. That loosed him to begin ministering directly to her. He's the one that got her calling those things that be not as though they were. I didn't even know that principle in those days. I didn't even know I couldn't have taught her that. So he just got her doing it himself. How good is God? And then he speaks to her. He knew what would get her. He spoke to her and had the situation to where she could tell it wasn't me. It wasn't, you know, and there was nobody else in the house. Following his instructions looses the Holy Spirit. See, that's why, in my mind, when we get together here on Sunday nights and we call those things which be not as though they were. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good. Just a minute. Incoming. Just a minute. Yes, sir. Good. See, okay, what we're standing. How long have we been doing this? More than 10 years. When you're dealing with moving a mountain, sometimes the mountains don't just run off quickly. Have you noticed that? And we're contending with a revival for a city. But let's bring it down a little lower. That's a pretty good sized mountain that Malcolm and Marvinus are dealing with. Science would say it's an impossible mountain. Science would probably say there's more. They would probably think our chances of revival in Tulsa are better than Tori getting healed. Because she needs a creative miracle. It's not just a healing. But what did he say? All things are possible. When it takes a long time, we tend to become weary in well-doing. Am I preaching good? Am I preaching good now? Yeah. What's your white hanky, you know? You tend to become weary in well-doing. I've got two situations going on. It doesn't matter what they are. If it wasn't these two, it'd be something else. You're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or going into the next trial. You might as well get used to that and just learn how to be a conqueror. Or actually more than a conqueror. But I've got two issues that I'm thinking of right now that I'm dealing with that have been kind of mountains. And after a while, which that can be, depends on you, days, weeks, months, years, if you're not careful, you can slip over into natural thinking and you more now are learning how to live with it than you are attacking how to change it. So he's been asking me, and this is the whole point of this lesson, he's been asking me regarding these two situations, and both of them are years. Well, no, one of them is years, one of them is months. The one that's years, I'm thinking of. Doesn't matter what it is, if it wasn't that, it'd be something else. It's not me physically, it's something else and something else. He asked me today, reminded me of this teaching, and he asked me, what are you doing that releases me to change that situation? What are you doing that releases me? It's not all my band-aids. What I mean by that, it's not all of the things I'm doing to help with that situation. Help there's a fine line sometimes between help and enabling. Sometimes, yes, sir. Okay, I'm not going to go that way tonight. We'll go that way another night. No, I can't. But I will say this. Why he had to arrest me is that we've dealt with that situation so long. In my mind, I was right ready to take some action that would, if not fix it, make it better. But as I'm thinking about it now, every action that I was thinking about taking, that's all my flesh man. It's all coming from the natural mind. Not one step of it, as I look back, I didn't receive that from God. That's not what he's telling me. In fact, y'all think it's easy to get up here. He makes you tell on yourself all the time. You know, you're learning back there, aren't you? Man. What happens over time? Well, it's not easy. You tend to drop what he told you. And you just start doing what the natural man says to do to survive, to cope. For if you can't see me, I'm doing the quotation marks with those words. This is just temporary. I'm just doing this to survive. I'm just doing this to cope. Part of you already feels guilty because you know God didn't tell you to do that. It's just you doing it because you don't know what else to do. And he's going, then he starts, you know, Gary, what are you doing? That releases me. All right, so let's just talk for a moment now. Specifically what he's trying to talk about is whatever situation you're in, that's pretty extreme. It could go from that all the way to car payments to whatever it is you're dealing with, okay? Job, if you need a job, whatever it is. The highest and best is to pray and get an instruction from him. I don't always get that every time, especially as quick as I want it. I always want it yesterday, you know. It doesn't always come that way. So sometimes I have to rely on doing those things that I know. This is the real question he asked me. What are you doing that releases me? Well, what are some of those things that release him? Let's write them down or get the thing later. Number one, praying in other tongues. If I could only give you one tool, I'd say, pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. Learn to discern his voice. Nothing on earth to me is more valuable than that. Pray and listen. Pray and listen. But I've been at this a long time. Even then, I don't always hear something like what I heard by that 8-track tape. Okay, I don't hear something like that. Well, so, second, what's another thing you can do? Confess the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Father, thy word is truth. When Jesus was attacked by the devil, it took me forever to bow my knee to this truth. When Jesus was attacked in the wilderness, did he know the word of God? He didn't stand there and try and think the devil away. God thoughts, God thoughts, God thoughts. Happy thoughts, God thoughts. Is that how he did it? He opened his mouth and he took the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema. It is the rhema of God, the spoken word of God. And he began to speak God's word. The type and shadow is hewing Agag to pieces in the Old Testament. It took the sword and hewed Agag to pieces. Confessing God's word is a major tool that you can use. I didn't even know that then. That's why he sweetly tricked us. Helped us because we were ignorant. Began confessing, got Sue confessing God's word and calling those things which be not as though they were. So that's the third one. There's a difference between confessing God's word and calling those things that be not as though they were. See, when I was, when he was teaching me, remember how he healed me of that incurable heart thing over a 2-year span? And I had to keep taking the medicine during that 2 years. Because when I quit taking it, I'd nearly die. Duh, take the medicine. Okay. Come in. I said, I received great revelation knowledge from Dave. Dave, should I take the medicine? Yes, Gary, you should take the medicine. But he says, when you take it, every time you take it, take God's medicine. And what he said was, speak. Because David already prayed for me for a new heart. I had a point of contact that I could look back to. Okay. But he says, not only confess God's word over yourself, but he says, talk to your heart. Call your heart healed. Call your heart normal. He even had me call my blood pressure normal. My blood pressure in those days was pretty bad. You know what it is today? Right around 120 over 75. I got a heart rate like a teenager, you know. And without any, I don't take any medication, you know. But he even had me call my blood pressure normal. Calling those things which be not as though they were. With Abraham, it was, I am the father of a multitude. I call myself a teacher. You notice how often I call myself a teacher of God's word? Why? Because that's what he told me I am. He told Abraham, you're the father of many nations. He told Gary, you're a teacher of my word. I call myself a teacher too. I am a teacher. See? But calling those things that be not as though they were is another one. I hate to tell you this part. Fasting is another one. There, if you want to start locating the voice of your flesh, I don't know of anything faster than fasting. It will whine, it will cry, it will scream, it will negotiate. And as you listen to that voice, you go, I'm very familiar with where that is. I know that voice well. Kyle just went off a short fast. He's going to get on to me for telling this. It was only 2.5, 3 days, something like that. And he says, man, he said, I hadn't done it in a long time, but I just fasted for it. He says, I was amazed how empowered my flesh was right after that. He said, right after I come off of it, my flesh is telling me, like, you deserve the Sonic double cheeseburger with bacon and the fries and the shake. And he said, my flesh was so empowered. You got to watch when you come off a fast. That's the most dangerous part of a fast, when you come off of it. Because your flesh, it's going, yeehaw. But if you want to learn the difference between God and your and God's voice and the voice of your flesh, I don't know anything that will help you quicker than fasting. Because, boy, your flesh, it starts, the negotiations begin immediately almost, don't they, Doug? I can think about fasting and begin hearing the voice of my flesh. Because he'll say, well, not today. There it is already. All right, man. Worship is another one. All of those things that we teach here, without going through them at length, it's time for me to quit for tonight. But all of those things that we teach here, those are the very weapons that loose the Holy Spirit. It looses Him as your teacher. It looses Him as your trainer. You'll begin to get projects from Him. You'll get your assignments, you know, like give away your pickup to your worst enemy and give that lady a blank check signed with your name on it. You'll be begging to go back under the tithe when that starts happening to you. Put me back under law, please. Can I just give 10%? Hallelujah. Let me come down to the near the end of this. So as he was summing up, he said to me, again, as your teacher, I am saying this many different ways, that there be no misunderstanding in your mind of what I'm teaching you this day. Observe the ministry of Jesus Christ in the flesh. And what he means is in the four Gospels. When he had concluded his ministry in any area and had moved on to the next area, what did you find in his wake? Do you find people who were merely taught, but not helped by their father? No, you find the moving of the Spirit in every location where his ministry brought forth the will of the Father to reorder present reality to the highest order of reality. The lepers were cleansed, the dead were raised, the hearts of sinners were turned toward the Father, devils were cast out, parents' lunatic children were restored to them home. The blind saw, the deaf heard. In every location, the ministry of Jesus Christ produced the moving of the Spirit of the living God. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ in you. The life He has imparted to you is the life which I anoint with dominion to manifest the will of the Father everywhere you shall go. As you continually hear my voice, see my... Everyone say continually. I think that's how Jesus lived. I think He was in constant communication and fellowship with the Father. I am not at this point, but I see that as my goal. And I'm pressing towards that mark with all I know how. Well, as you continually hear my voice, see my visions, and comprehend my revelations to you, the result of the moving of the Spirit shall be in your wake also, says the Spirit of grace. Unless the Spirit of the living God is moved, there has been no ministry, says the Lord. Is that good stuff or what? We got to remember that. See, we're not here to learn religion. We're not here to learn good works. We're here to learn how to walk with the Spirit of the living God. That's why it's called the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. Amen? Well, I just got an instruction from the Lord, and I'm going to go ahead and pass it along to you. How many of you know about my famous ring binder? The ring binder. I don't know how many. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. For years, I've endeavored to try and get people to start keeping one of their own so that you have a record of the prayers that you pray. This is the day that I asked, you know, Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, that's my ring binder. And so there'll be certain things that I'll ask the Lord or pray about, believe I receive. So I have a date. I know when I did it, I know when I received, I don't ever ask Him again, but I do go through there and thank Him for all of those things. I don't act like He didn't hear me, but I say, I thank you, I know I received that day, I thank you, I'll have it. But what I just saw, and I've done this in the past, when it's, there's a different, okay, there's more than one kind of prayer. There's also the prayer of intercession, okay? And what I saw, I'm thinking about that particular case now where it's a bad situation. Somebody else is involved. It's not just me. And, we need to loose God's Spirit. What I saw there was on that page, I have a page already. He says, I want you to put some blank paper there. And when you come to that part, in your confessions, I want you to pause, pray, and listen. Say with me, pause, pray, and listen. And see if there's instructions that I can get from Him that will more loose the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to be able to do something there that I may not already be doing. So it's good to call those things that be not as though they were. It's good to make your confession and believe you received when you prayed. And I've been doing that, but as we're going through here, I just saw it as plain as anything now. I'm going to slip some blank paper, a few sheets of blank paper there. And when I come to that, I'm going to pause, pray, and listen. I'm going to do it every day, maybe more than once a day. And see, make sure that I'm not just bypassing stuff. I'm telling you, sometimes His instructions come, you don't realize it's Him. Yes. I was not expecting by a Bob Dylan tape. Who would think? I mean, you know how many churches I'd get thrown out of just for suggesting that that was God that told me to buy that Bob Dylan tape? But I know it was. And it worked. See? Pause. Pray. Listen. Yes, sir. The instruction now is ongoing. Do you see how quick that came? So easy. I'm telling you, a lot of times His instructions, they'll come, those little teaching visions, they're quick. They're fleeting. They're fast. It's easy to ignore them. I'll tell you, He'll send them again. But He doesn't send them forever. Okay? And so I'm just be on the alert for that. That's Him. That's him. He's trying to help me help him solve that problem. Not with a man solution, but with a God solution. But it's very often just comes quick like that. Don't ignore it. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and do the confessions now.